Welcome to the Shift Spotlight Podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you. Hey, everybody. It's Winter with the Shift Spotlight, and today I'm excited to be here with Rufus Crescent. He is a CFP, a podcast host, an entrepreneur, a visionary, and you talk to a lot of visionaries, right? So he can be found at thebusinesscfp.com. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay. So before we dive into what you do and how you do it, I'd like to start out with an interesting fact about you that people may not know.
Okay.
So what would that be? Give me one.
Interesting fact about me that people don't know. Oh, goodness. Like, where do I start? It's like, ask me how many people do I know with brown hair?
So you're not interesting.
No, I mean, there's all of it. This is usually a reason why I don't want people to know. But now I think one of the more interesting things I get to tell people is that I own a 350-foot pier on Lake Pontchartrain.
Oh, so, interesting. What do you
so
do
not everybody. It's a lake house, and I tell people, it says, well, I bought the pier. The house came with it. So, and I bought it for the pier, really. Me and my family, we enjoy catching trout and redfish in Lake Pontchartrain, and you get to go fish at night, and you have the lights that go on the water. It's a good time.
So. Yeah, I saw that you like to fish. Ken's a big fisher, too, just so you know. So
okay.
Or he loves to, anyways. All right. So at a high level, why don't you tell us what it is that you do?
Okay. So what I do, what I've done for the last 28 years is worked as a financial planner. And I basically help people navigate every critical financial event in their lives, both the things that they plan for and things that they pray never happen. It's really a job of getting people to do the things that they ought to do that they normally wouldn't do on their own. So the financial planning process in and of itself is it's something that people will hire me that says, okay, we want certain things in life. We want to achieve certain goals. We want to reach some financial independence. We want to send our kids to college. We want to save on taxes. And they just don't know where to start in a lot of cases. So it's a matter of really just talking to people about what's important to them, what their goals are, figuring out where they are now, where they want to be, and how to get there. So the plan itself is somewhat the roadmap, but the value of why people hire me is the planning process. The plan, as you know, you can write your business plan and shove it in a drawer and not look at it until November and be like, okay, what did we hit? You know, so the plan itself is a written document, of course, but it doesn't really do anything unless you actually take action on it. And that's that accountability factor. So once we help them create that roadmap, we help as that navigator and holding them accountable and getting that first step in the right direction and helping implement those things. So where I've pivoted over the last few years is I started working more and more with business owners. And there's many reasons for that, but mostly because it's just more exciting because every business is so dynamic. And I didn't want to be in this sales role of, hey, bring all your assets to me. I found there was a huge void in the marketplace in my industry for business owners, because if you think about it, a business owner doesn't typically have the regular 401k. I mean, they can, but that's not where most of their worth and their value and their investment and their time goes is in growing their business. So having a successful exit strategy is very important. And to start thinking about their business like a business, like an investment, because it is, I get to now tell people, says, look, don't bring me money. Let's put money back into your business, but let's do it in a smart way. And let's do it on purpose. And let's find ways to grow that enterprise value. And it's the same process of financial planning with someone that's not a business owner. It's a matter of defining reality of where you are now and figuring out where you need to be. So we help them identify what that wealth gap is, what that income gap is, and say, okay, well, we need your business to be worth $10 million. Well, what's it worth now? I don't know. Well, maybe we should go find out. And that's where we have to define that reality to figure out where we're going. And I think that has been such an interesting pivot over the last couple of years for me because there was such a need. Because in order to work with a traditional financial advisor or financial planner, it really required you to bring a certain amount of assets to them so they can invest, because that's where they made most of their money. So you were dealing with relatively very high net worth people, but it's just not liquid assets. It's all tied up in their business. So it's something that the market needed it, and it was been very well received, and people really enjoy the non-sales approach of helping them make financial decisions. So.
I mean, you answered a couple of my questions there, because I was going to say, if you want to fast forward 5 to 10 years, where do you see the role of a financial advisor changing? So I think that's, part of it. I love the pivot. I think it's a very unique pivot. Financial planners, I've got a history in real estate, so I can make fun of myself, but they're a dime a dozen, just like realtors. And the only thing that truly sets you apart is your service or the amount of money you're making the people, unless you do something unique, like make a pivot like this. So
Right.
I
Well,
think that
you bring up a good point there, even with the differentiators, because think about it as if you needed a doctor, and you said, hey, you'd say, hey, Rufus, I need a doctor. Well, natural next question I'm going to have is, well, what kind of doctor? And you probably will know, or if you don't know, then I can usually tell you what kind of doctor you need. So, well, I broke my arm. It says, do I need a chiropractor? Probably not. You probably need to go see an orthopedic surgeon. Okay. So, I have a runny nose, sore throat, and a cough. Should I go see a heart surgeon? No, probably just go see your family medical doctor. So there's easy differentiators in the medical profession, but when you say, hey, I need a financial advisor, nobody says, well, what kind of financial advisor? So they're all kind of lumped into one just big basket of insurance salesmen, mutual fund salesmen, the person at the desk at your bank, the other person on the end of the 1-800 number. So there's so many people holding themselves as a financial advisor that people just don't understand that they're as their needs evolve, so does the need for a certain planner evolves, and they just don't really understand that differentiator. And I think this was been a huge differentiator to be able to say, you don't need to bring money to me to work with me. What do you mean? I can't do that with a guy down the street. I'm like, I know. So it's just one of those things where I think it has been really helpful to be able to take that off the table. And it helps build trust, to be able to say, invest with me, don't invest in me. I'm still going to give you advice.
Hi, I am Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. After decades of helping companies from pre-revenue startups to Fortune 50 giants, I wanted to create something that every leader could use right now. That's why we built the CEO Navigator. It is a custom GPT that helps you uncover real root causes of business challenges, build a focused 90-day plan, and even expose blind spots across your business that you don't yet see coming. This is not just artificial intelligence. It's built upon decades of proven operator experience, distilled in a tool that you can start using today. To explore further, please go to gcestrategicconsulting.com/CEO-navigator-GPT and see for yourself how it can help you lead with clarity and confidence.
And so you deal with a lot of business owners. What's a big F thing that goes wrong in their businesses? Where in their finances do they just make a mistake after working through some of these business? You're like, I kind of have seen this one again and again. Like, don't do this.
You know, that's a big question. I think for a lot of business owners, they're almost kind of accidental business owners. They were self-employed.
We call them accidental entrepreneurs here at
There you go. Exactly.
GCE.
So they kind of stumbled ass backwards into this behemoth of a business that they all of a sudden, they started because they were a technician and they were really good at what they did. And because they were really good at what they did, their company grew and they maybe took on an assistant and a couple employees, and it just started to snowball. But they never had any kind of formal training into being an entrepreneur or an executive or even an investor. So I kind of look at it as, meeting them where they are. And I look at the three phases of an entrepreneur as being the founder, entrepreneur. That's the person that bootstrapped it and got it to a certain level to where it's more of a lifestyle business. But if they want to scale beyond that, then they now need to go out there and learn leadership skills. They need to know how to create other leaders within their company. They have to learn how to delegate things and start working on the business versus in the business. And then that third act, that third level of an entrepreneur is becoming the investor entrepreneur. And the investor entrepreneur starts looking at it and says, you know what? It's kind of the, I call it the founder's paradox. I don't call it that. Somebody else called it. I don't remember where I heard it, but it's basically where they get to say, do I want to be king or do I want to be rich? Okay. Because the potential of your company should eventually grow beyond your capabilities. And if you're all about being king and having control and not giving up that control, then you're going to limit the potential of your company. Whereas if you can say, you know what, control is am I really looking for control or am I looking for governance? And I think as you can start looking at becoming an investor, you start looking at it in a lot of different ways. So the biggest mistake, and that's kind of a ramp up to the question of what I see most often, is helping them understand the enterprise value of their company. Mm-hmm. And they know it's there, but they don't really think about it from a standpoint of, yeah, one day I'll sell. Okay, but maybe we should, since this is a potentially a $20 million asset, maybe we should put a little bit more thought into the planning of this 20, because yeah. I promise you, if you had $20 million invested with me, you would look at that statement probably at least once a month.
Yeah.
If not every day on your phone, if we had a good day in the market, I'm like, hey, how much money did I make? But we don't really do that with our businesses. Why? So yeah. Helping them change that paradigm and start thinking about their business as an investment is that third act. And that's where they start looking at structure of their business or investing into verticals or looking at their own exit strategy, bringing on partners. There's so many different ways to look at it to when you can start thinking beyond just me as the technician. So I think that's probably the biggest thing. But financial wise, growth for the sake of growth. I think that's where people are always looking at that top line revenue and thinking it translates into a higher bottom line profit. And that's just not always the case. Yeah. So helping them say, you know, look, are you in business to make money? Yes. Okay. Then let's maybe focus on that bottom line a little bit more and put the ego aside of you produced more, or you sold more than the guy down the street. Okay.
Yeah. And I also think too that with a lot of these visionaries, when they're somewhere between that second and third stage that you talk about, their brain starts, well, it's always firing off, but they really start going in a bunch of different directions. They're like, ping, 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 because that visionary can't slow down. They're like a ChatGPT running in overdrive all the time. And so they're like, hey, we're going to do this with the business. And then everybody starts to roll that out. And then, oh, wait, no, squirrel, we're going to do this with the business. And that doesn't necessarily set them up for a successful exit. And maybe what that person wants to do, it may be what is on their brain at that moment, but getting those visionaries to think more in that strategy range and think about it as, is this good for the long term? You know, because their heads are just filled with stuff and that's why they're in that role, right? So I think there's something about trying to rein that in for the long-term plan, for the long-term exit, you know, so that you have something that can be exited as opposed to it being, like you said, the king's throne that only the king knows how to manage.
Right. So you, the squirrel and all that, you're absolutely right. I kind of describe myself as, the squirrel carrying the shiny object that's going down a rabbit hole is kind of my thing. So yeah, it's a hot mess. I think the most important thing that a visionary that can recognize that adult ADD, these great ideas. And look, we want to, and that's what I built my podcast around, is saying constructive interference is, I want to amplify that. I want to really pull that out. And other visionaries are so famous for really compounding that energy, because it takes a visionary to sometimes see a visionary. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to say, go tell my wife at home all my grand ideas. She'll be like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, forget it. You know, so I don't talk to her about it, but I go talk to my other visionary friends and we're like, oh, that's great. And you can do this. I'm like, yeah, I didn't think about that. We can do this. I think the most important thing is having a great integrator. And a great integrator, or as a COO or an executive assistant, you need that filter. Someone that will give you the space that says, okay, I got a great idea. That's wonderful, Rufus. Let me write that down. We're going to come back to that. And chances are I'm probably going to forget about it in a week because I had five other great ideas. That, exactly. So, but you're right. The visionary has such potential to bring organizational whiplash. My company used to hate when I go to conferences because I come back with like two notebooks of shit that I'm going to do, when I get back and they're like, oh, Rufus, the last 6 months, we just implemented the last great idea you want to do. Now we have to do it this way. So it's extremely frustrating. The best thing that I've found is that, is to have that filter and to kind of bring it back together with all my other great ideas and just really kind of go through and prioritize and see, okay, if I can only do one, which would be the most impactful, which one's the most urgent. But you don't want to neuter your visionary. Yeah. You got to let them do their thing, but you just got to have some boundaries and rules of engagement, essentially.
Yep. All right. So then where do you see yourself investing resources for growth over the next year as you move into this new phase and this new direction?
Resources. I think continuing my own. College was so wasted on me. I didn't learn a thing. I memorized stuff long enough to take a test, but the way I take in information now, and I'm just such a geek out over learning new things. So I probably have more letters behind my name than my actual name now with designations. Yeah. And it's not an ego thing.
There are many acronyms past your name.
Yeah. Well, like I said, some of them were required earlier in my career, but the other ones were, I wanted to learn how to behave to help my clients from a behavioral standpoint. So I became a behavioral financial advisor. I wanted to help my clients exit. So I became an exit strategist. So I think continuing to pound on my own craft and get better to where I can serve my clients more is where I want to invest in myself. But always, hands down, the best investment has always been in finding the right people and paying them appropriately and giving them a vision that they can latch onto, creating a company and a vision big enough to where they can make a meaningful contribution that gives them purpose and that they can grow and achieve all the things they want professionally and personally. So I think that's always been my motivation to grow, not just for the sake of growing. I guess my growth as a company has always been, if I have anybody that's worth having at some point, my competition is going to offer them a job, and they should, right? Because they're really the best at what they do. When that day comes, I want to make sure that I'm always the better alternative. And if they go to my competitor because my competitor is a better alternative, then that's not their fault. That's not my competitor's fault. That's my fault. Yeah. So always making sure that I am investing in those career tracks and making sure that they can achieve everything they want in life through this company is probably the greatest investment I can make in this company.
Absolutely. I love that. And so if somebody listening wanted to take the next step with you, what should they do?
Oh, take the next step with me. I mean, I'm easy to find. As far as we find me on my website, or you can email me, call you.
LinkedIn. We found you on LinkedIn.
I'm all over the place. So it's usually a capacity issue. So a lot of times the way it would work would just be either an introduction email and a phone call to see if it's the right fit, right timing. I have associates that work in my company. So sometimes maybe you don't necessarily need me at my level because I charge you too much for what you need. So we can bring in somebody that's at their level. But it's really just the right fit. And the main thing is I don't want to be everything to everybody. I want to be very important to a few. So it's just a matter of figuring out, is it the right timing? Is it the right fit? But please, by all means, I'd love to talk to anybody that feels that either I can help them or I can point them in the right direction of somebody who can.
And then as we close this out, just give us the name of your podcast again, because I know you are going to be interviewing our founder and visionary, Ken Paskins, on it shortly in a bit here today. What is the name of your podcast?
Constructive Interference.
Constructive Interference. Not as good as The Shift Spot, but still good.
Okay. Well, Constructive Interference, I know it's a big, long name, and it usually takes some explanation, so there's some flaws in it. But I think it's a physics term that says when two frequencies are overlap and they are in sync, they amplify. So you think of two musical notes playing the same note, amplify that one note. And I think that's the metaphor that I wanted to use of two visionaries that come together and just talk shop.
Just talk,
it's just the magic that comes out of these conversations. It's just fun. And that's the guy that set me up on the podcast. He says, Rufus, you'd be great on podcasts. I'm like, we'll see. I'm like, I don't want to study. I don't want to prepare. I just want to show up and be me and have fun. If it's not fun, I don't want to do it.
And I will tell you, when I first started this podcast, I felt like I had to do it the way others were. I was kind of studying the way they were doing. I felt like it needed to be 45 minutes to an hour. And I wasn't having fun. And then when I threw all that out of the window and just said, I'm going to do it my way. And I started doing these like 15, 20 minute podcasts. I realized that the CEOs and visionaries, the mindset's a lot shorter, right? That's when I started having fun. When I get up and just start like ad-libbing the questions or just, not this way that I felt like I had to do it, that's when I started having the most fun with the podcast.
So. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's so much easier to be you than to try to be someone else all the time. Right?
Or what somebody else is doing because you think that's how it should be done. I mean,
yeah. Very liberating when you can put down those masks.
Yeah, that's not visionary. So, all right. Well, thanks for being on the show today. We've enjoyed having you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.